What an amazing place to be in, where we can say, I will trust you, Lord. I think I'm on. There you go. It is, isn't it? It sounds like a simple phrase to say, but if you're able to say that this morning, genuinely, from the very core of who you are, in the middle of whatever you have passed through in your life up to this point, with all its twists and turns and peaks and troughs, joys and sorrows, life is something else, isn't it? And it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely nothing short of truly, supernaturally miraculous that we can be here this morning. And if we can say that with an honest heart before the Lord, I trust you. Oh wow, what a declaration that is. Before all the principalities and powers. Glory to God. To all that's seen, to all that's unseen, the redeemed people of God this morning, still standing after all these years. Sorry to quote a secular song, but we'll take it for ourselves. We are, aren't we? By His grace, we cannot stand on our own, in our own strength, but by His amazing grace that we started with this morning, we're here, still standing, singing, I will trust in you alone, despite all of the enemy's attempts to knock us off course, to disillusion us, to cause us to be bitter. Oh, praise Him. Even as we sit here in silence in this moment, just now, if there's that in our hearts, I will trust you, Lord. Oh, I was just so blessed by that thought that there's something so powerful that's rising up to heaven, that's being declared from His people, and this is going on all over His world. Right now, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise God for His whispers. Praise God for the whispers that come from His saints under pressure. It's pure gold. It's the best aroma in heaven. Glory to God. And the Father is smiling as He receives those whispers of faith and hope and trust in Him. Despite everything. Oh, bless the Lord. Cham read me something. In the week, just as we were singing there, and then Mark chose to sing the verse again. He anoints my head with oil. I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it was just an analogy of how the shepherd at times will anoint the sheep's head when it's so bothered by flies and insects and things that come to torment it. And there was just this lovely picture she showed me of a shepherd just pouring oil all over the sheep's head. And it, oil of protection. Anointing oil. Wonderful. Just something I hadn't thought of before. We hadn't particularly. Just another facet of the wonder of what the Lord does. And we do well to remember this morning that above and beyond any application to ourselves is that He, the Lord our shepherd, He's the anointed one. It's His head that's been anointed. Glory to God. You can think of that psalm in terms of our precious Lord going through the valley of the shadow of death, and His, if you like, total dependence on His Father to lead Him and guide Him and bring Him through. Bless the Lord. Sometimes we're quick to self-apply, aren't we? I think we do well, before we do any of that, apply it to Him first. And it's only in Him then the application can flow down to us as we're in Christ. Praise God. So good to have Freddie with us. Don't worry, you just relax. Wonderful. So nice to see everyone here who's been at the weekend, the China weekend. I trust you've had a really blessed time together. It is really good to be together, isn't it? A real privilege. We're going to turn again into John 14. Just aware that we do have lots of visitors. So this has a context. Going back a year or so, I'm not going to do a big recap. I've been talking about walking with God, our walk with God, and in that context of walking with God, we've looked at three W's, www.walkwithgod, not .com, W, worship, W, the Word, and W, work, and we've looked at those three, and we're just coming to the end thinking about the work as we walk with God. So let's turn again to John chapter 14. And we read last time, just from verse 12 down to verse 14. I'd like to read those verses again as our main text for this morning. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Two verses in John chapter 14 there. Absolutely amazing words coming from our Lord. And the context there is that you'll probably be aware that this is prior to him going to the cross. And he's about to leave. Before he goes back to his Father, he's about to go through the most awful, awful suffering. And there's no other way to fulfill the will of his Father. And he's been absolutely submitted the whole time. Not my will, but yours be done. Not just in the Garden of Gethsemane, but before he even came, not my will, but yours be done. I'll go. Who will go? I'll go. We heard it prayed as we broke bread. That before we were even here, before we were even created, the Lord saw it all and made provision for you, for me, for the whole wide world. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's so wonderful. And here he is, having actually come not long to the ignominy, the devastation, the brokenness, the darkness, the being made sin, as we've heard it quoted again, the being made sin for us. He who knew no sin was going to become sin for us, that we, in him, should become the righteousness of God. This is just amazing. It's so, so deep, so high, so wide. The remedy for sin is so radical. Glory to God. And listen, friends, I love saying this, and I'm not apologizing for repeating it. He's done it. It's finished. It's accomplished. And we're living on this side of the cross. Here where we're reading, he hasn't done it yet, but he's about to. And this is the context Now his disciples are, to put it in modern parlance, absolutely gutted at the thought that he's going to leave them. They've been with him now for some 3 years. They've had their ups and downs, they've had their misunderstandings, but one thing is sure, they love this man. He's their hope. He's their friend. He's the one who, though they don't fully understand how he does it, he sees right into the very core of who they are and loves them still. He's the one who's chosen them. He's the one who's called them. He's drawn them out from everything else and they're following. Maybe they don't get it. Do we? No. Not completely. They know this. Lord, we don't want you to go. Please don't leave us. It's that context. It's heart-rending sense of, oh, we've hoped for so much. And it's all wrapped up in you, Lord. Please, please don't go. Please don't leave us. And the Lord, fully engaged in the whole wonderful work of redemption, is feeling this. He's not detached, he's not cold, he's not hard. But he knows he's got to go. And he's opening up the very depths of who he is in a greater measure than arguably ever before. I mean, these chapters in John 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Wow. What treasure is here? And we're just looking at these two verses. Most assuredly, says Jesus, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Can you just put yourself in the shoes of the disciples there? All of this feeling, all of this emotion, all of this. Oh, how can we even put it into words? And Jesus is speaking like this. The works that I will do, he will do. I don't know about you, but even now, this side of the cross and the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, even as I've read them again, I find these verses in many ways difficult to grasp. I was just reading again in the week and I know them well. Like the actual words of them, I could quote them to you. But as I was praying, I was saying, Lord, is this possible? What do you mean? Well, imagine the disciples in the context they were in. It's a different context to what we're in now. Jesus saying, believe in me. Now, so often we fall there, we think, oh, that's for a kind of elite kind of group who are like the proper spiritual giant types. And they're the ones who tend to get into books and then you can have them on your shelf and read them and quote them and stuff. Yeah, I can see that. That's for that type. Like the real legends. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Whoever. He who, the phrase, we said it last time, it's actually when Jesus says, and it's all through John, whenever, it's whoever. That includes me. So, most assuredly I say to you, put whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. So let's, for starters, stop disqualifying ourselves before we've even got going. He's talking to you this morning. You. You. I don't know what you think. Maybe you're just thinking, why has he said you so many times? What's for lunch? Focus. You, my friend, listen. You. If you believe in him, the works that he does, you will do also. We talked about that last time, and this is the clause we were getting on specifically this morning. Just when you're picking yourself up off your floor, when you've fallen over astonished, thinking, no, that can't possibly mean me, and if it does, I don't get it. He then goes on after a comma, and greater works than these he will do. Because, and here's the big clue, because, don't you love a conjunction right there? Because I go to my Father. That's the key. Before we start flexing our spiritual muscles that we think we may or may not have and think, hey, this is fulfilling, I'm going to do some damage in this world and like play my part in the big plan of redemption and I'm going to do some spectacular stuff. No. No. The reason I said, even in the silence as we sit here and it looks like maybe on one level not much is going on, and as you whisper before him, I trust you, Lord. I'm telling you, and hopefully we'll see that before we're done, I'm telling you that is part of the greater work that is going on from the day of Pentecost until now, and it's not over yet until he comes, and then that ushers us into a life of eternal glory and bliss. Jesus is fulfilling this word in this world now. Even now, here. Or are you sitting there thinking, oh no, I'm just unfulfilled potential. I'm not in this. I haven't seen many great miracles. Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, stop it. Stop it right now and look to Jesus because it's him. Listen, it says in verse 13, we'll come to this a bit later, but in verse 13 it moves from the works, if you believe in him, you will do. Okay? And then in verse 13 it says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Now often we put the emphasis there on the do in terms of answered prayer, but I just saw it afresh this morning. That's true, by the way, but I just put the emphasis on I. So listen, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Jesus hasn't gone back to his Father and stopped working. The amazing thing is, because of what he's done, he calls us out of complete disconnectedness. Into wonderful connection with him. And in fact, he is doing the works that he's talking about, but expressed through the multiplicity of his body all over the world in unique ways, hidden ways, visible ways, quiet ways, loud ways, and all that's in between. He's doing his works. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? And we just were reminded by the Lord, I believe, this morning to not hinder him. Don't limit him by who you think you are. Since when was it ever about our ability? But sometimes we function as if we've got to be really capable and able and gifted and all the rest of it. Any gifting, it's from him anyway. Is that, that's a relief, isn't it? So, stop doing a big self-analysis of your whatever and look to him. You've heard it said, it sounds a little cheesy, but it's true. It's not about your ability, it's about your availability. Jesus says here in verse 13, there's coming a day pretty soon from now, and he explains it in great detail in these chapters. He's saying, I've got to go. I know you don't want me to go, but I must go. Why? Because I'm going to my Father. And then, oh bless the Lord, then I'm going to, at the absolute right time, it's all under control. The Holy Spirit is going to come in such a powerful outpouring, breaking into the world, so that human beings, for the first time, okay, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not belittling all of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant, but the New Covenant is going to be established and inaugurated, and the Holy Spirit is going to come unhindered, rushing from heaven, from my Father, oh, hallelujah, released. So that people, whoever believes in me, he said it, didn't he? Whoever believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. that. So that's not an encouragement for you to navel gaze. No, it's just the truth of Jesus. You look to him. You don't look at your belly. I spent years doing that. Where's the rivers? Where's the rivers? Am I filled? Aren't I filled? Oh dear, I got myself in such knots. Theological tangles got me absolutely nowhere. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Whoever believes in me, out of his, her very innermost being will flow. And we've just sung about rivers of living water. Oh, praise God. Praise God. And the day of Pentecost, in chronological time, has happened. We're in the day of grace. We're in the day of the Spirit. We're in the day of salvation. Right now. Yeah, is that good? Okay then. You took that in your stride. No, I'm not looking for, you know, effervescent feedback at all. Sorry. Oh, no, it's okay. No, feedback's fine. Oh, bless the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? So we talked about whoever last time. We talked about being called to do the work. And we touched on things like being God's fellow workers. Working together with him. The Lord working with them. I mean, it's just a staggering, wonderful prospect. I just want to say this. I just made a note before. It's not particularly, it is linked a little bit, but I just wanted to say, I don't know, maybe it's for someone here this morning specifically. It's just this wonderful verse from Hebrews came to mind. I'm not going to go into all the context, but I'm just going to read this out. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Dear people of God, God sees your labor of love. And he sees the times when you're breaking your heart thinking, oh Lord, if only I could do more, or what's actually happened, or is this my life before you? I've only got one to live. I've got so much desire to serve you. Listen, friends, he sees it. He sees the brokenness. He sees the feeling of waste. And he treasures it. Nothing is wasted in his hands as you pour it out. Even when you've made a mess of it, my friends, if you run back to him in brokenness and repentance, somehow in his redeeming capability, he's able to work that, even that, together for good. And turn it to be a treasure and thwart the enemy's plans to mar and ruin and spoil. He's able to do it amazingly in a moment. But more often than not, I'm finding he's willing to take his time. We're so often in a panic. We're so often in a rush. We're so often running about helter-skelter thinking, if I don't get this done, we're all done for. You know, when you come into the sanctuary, I had a taste of this on Thursday night. I'd had one of those weeks. You don't need to know about it. You'd probably be bored and not interested anyway. My own personal circumstances. I thought I'd come out into a sunny place and I was just enjoying it for about 5 minutes and then boom, boom, boom. I came here on Thursday night. Brief chat with our dear brother Peter. And then we all just came consciously into the presence of the Lord. You know, and everything changed. Bless the Lord. It all makes sense when you get into the sanctuary. Not that you're able to work everything out, what on earth is going on. No, not that stuff. I mean, you see him. Oh, Lord. He's not all out of sync. He's not panicking and stressed. He's in session. He's praying with pure hope and faith and love. He's interceding for his beloved. He's waiting for the Father's ordained time. And he's totally at peace, trusting his Father with when that is. It's amazing how Jesus is so remarkably calm about all of that. And we're desperate to know, aren't we? When that moment comes, as sure as he came the first time, in the fullness of time, bless the Lord, he's coming again, we've been reminded. And he will come. King of kings, Lord of lords, and every eye will see him, and there'll be justice flowing. What great hope is ours. It's the only way to interpret some of the stuff that's going on now. Praise him. Praise him. You remember last time, I'll just read this very quickly and then we're going to look specifically at what do we mean by greater? What does Jesus mean by greater? Okay? I don't know if you remember this quote. Here lies the tremendous mystery. This is Elizabeth Elliot. If you're not familiar with her writing, it's well worth reading. Here lies the tremendous mystery, she says, that God should be all-powerful and yet refuse to coerce us. He summons us. He calls us to cooperation. We are honoured in being given the opportunity to participate in his good works. Remember how he asked for, and she puts it in quotes, remember how he asked for help in performing his miracles. Do you remember, I mentioned this last time, fill the water pots. I mean, I just love the little subtle detail with how the Lord works. You know, one of the things that struck me as you look at all the different miracles and the variety there is his incredible grace in giving dignity to human beings who as yet aren't his, the ones he's dealing with. So he'll say things like, fill the water pots. He'll say things like, stretch out your hand. He'll say things like, distribute the loaves. Isn't it wonderful? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And our part, if he says something like, distribute the loaves, our part, depending on where you're at and what your personality is and probably where you are on your journey, you may have one of two reactions which isn't the one he's looking for. One of them is, distribute the loaves. Seriously, I'm a man of destiny. I've got a vocation to live out in the marketplace, okay? And I'm not distributing loaves. Get me in on the real action. I'm looking for miracles in this day. Distribute the loaves. That's one reaction. Sorry, I went a bit far with that. Let's go to the other end. So that's this one. Proud. Who do we think we are? Seriously. The other end of the spectrum is me. Have any part in this? I'm not worthy. I'm so incapable. I'm not even supposed to be here. What do you mean, distribute the loads? No. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
He's still doing it.
Right now. Right now. With all my heart, I believe it. He's here by His Spirit. And so often, and then we see Him right down there. Absolutely. And that sorts out the pride. Peter was struggling, wasn't he? And the Lord was like, I must wash your feet. If I don't wash your feet, no part. Oh, wash me top to toe. I love Peter. He's all in. No. That's a different message though. Thanks though. Absolutely. So either end of the spectrum, we can miss the simple thing that Jesus says, distribute the loaves. What are we supposed to do? Just distribute the loaves. Exactly what He said. Don't go, oh, I need a three-pointer, or how's this going to affect my future, or big analysis of like our strengths and weaknesses, or what's my call. No, just do it. You know that in the miracle early on in John. Just do it. Nike, by the way, have robbed that from the scriptures. Just do it. Whatever He says, dear Mary, just do it. We can be at either end. Oh, I can't do it. Or, that's not big enough for me. I need something I can really get my teeth into. And both ends we miss. Distribute the loaves. Do you see? He's calling us in the most ordinary ways, in the quietest ways, in the hidden ways. Oh, bless the Lord. And this is part, I believe it with all my heart, it's part of the greater works. Now, what exactly does He mean? I'm going to suggest a couple of things, and hopefully it will initiate some ongoing conversation. Okay? So greater works than these He will do because I go to my Father. Greater, I suggest here, and please, this isn't comprehensive, but greater for this morning in two main senses. I'm a little nervous saying this one, but bear with me and I'll try and explain. So greater in supernatural activity. Miracles. Listen, now I know some of you are probably thinking, goodness me. Think of that, seriously, just stop for a moment, think of the works that Jesus did. And immediately, if you just look, think of John, you think of the outstanding, sort of, spectacular miracles. Like, for example, I mean, I mentioned Lazarus, that was fairly stunning, wasn't it? And he did it. 4 days. I mean, he wasn't just gone. In the Jewish context, he was way beyond gone. We just see death as like, that's it. But for them, specifically because it mentioned 4 days, that meant he'd gone past the point of no return. Not, you understand? I mean, he was not just gone. He was really, really gone. Way too far. And Jesus says, Lazarus! And he calls right through. And he's coming up to where it's too far gone. And his voice goes, whoa, flying past that point. Right into the very impossibility of the whole thing, and he calls him out. That's spectacular. Just being honest, I haven't ever, by God's grace, been involved in anything that comes anywhere near that in the sense of the physical miracle of raising someone from the dead. I don't know about you. Be honest now. So what are we talking about? You can think about walking on water. Now our girls are at the age where if you talk about that, they think, let's give it a go. Post 40, you get a little cynical. Or, wise, risk assessment flying through your mind. And so what are we talking about? You can go through the miracle. I mean, even the one we've talked about, the bread. I mean, that is absolutely phenomenal. So why am I saying greater natural activity. When we, and remember the context is actually whoever believes in me. And the other context is he's ushering in a day where we are connected just as he was to the Father by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying in that day, and there's many scriptures, he repeats it. He says, in that day you will ask in my name and I will do it. And the clue there, we've said before, it's because I go to my Father. He's talking about something so phenomenally miraculous, by the way. So, for any of us here this morning who are His, who are trusting Him now, who are believing in Him, we are, by the miraculous power of Jesus, we are those who have been raised from the dead. If someone goes from a place of unbelief to belief, and this is not a cop-out, okay? This is absolutely not a cop-out. I'm not trying to get round the uncomfortable issue of why don't we see so many supernatural miracles at a particular time in a particular context. That's a slightly different discussion. I'm talking about the phenomenal, miraculous power of Jesus to raise dead people to life. And if you're His this morning, you've been resurrected from the dead. Sometimes we walk around as if that's not the case. Honestly, every morning you'd think it wasn't the case with me. I struggle to get my leg out of bed. Physically. But that doesn't affect the miracle that God has done in my life. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. When we who believe pray and preach the gospel in word and deed, and other sinners believe. So now we're moving off ourselves. It was about time, wasn't it? And others believe. We are in fact involved, I believe, in the greater work. John speaks of Jesus' miracles in terms of powerful signs. We now get to participate with him in what all of those signs pointed to. Did you follow? In fact, in John it says, and all of these things are that so you believe. Remember all the lepers that were cleansed? Only one came back. Interesting, isn't it? I hope this is thought-provoking. It's been thought-provoking for me. Walking on water, feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, raising the dead. This is spectacular. Listen, new birth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, living by faith, impacting countless lives with your little packed lunch, walking in newness of life. And this, listen my friends, Jesus is so happy this morning. Because this has gone from a small neck of the woods to a truly global scale. There's billions of people who've been raised from the dead. There's billions of people standing for Jesus and giving their lives for Jesus. There's countless numbers over the centuries who've died blessing him and believing him and trusting him, and they've moved from this broken world into glory, and there's such an abundant entrance for them. Glory to his wonderful name. Glory to his wonderful name. Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not discounting the fact that the Lord can heal physically. Please don't misunderstand me. I think that's still for today. Absolutely. But that is not the focus of what he's talking about. He doesn't mention it here specifically. He's not talking about mechanics. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about us who were so broken and utterly fragmented and so messed up. You just wouldn't even want to go there. And he went there. He went right beyond the point of no return. And he reached right into the darkness and desperation of our lost dead hearts. And he said, David, come forth. And he said, Gillian, your name there. The still small voice. I know in the context of Lazarus, he gave it some, didn't he? Lazarus! You know what? The whisper of Jesus is more powerful than all the power of hell put together. Get in there. Do you believe that? He died in weakness. Naked, strapped, strung up between heaven and earth. Utterly vulnerable. It was awful. And there, at that moment, was where the power bruised the serpent's head, defeated the enemy. Glory to God, broke the power of sin once and for all. That's for each and every one of us. In all its fullness, glory to his name. So let's stop strutting around if you're on that end of the spectrum thinking, oh, how can I be fully fulfilled? I know that's another thing to talk about. Please don't miss it. But in this context, oh, Jesus, I can't even believe I get to be yours. Oh, bless the Lord. Greater supernatural activity. By the way, just by note, point of note, of all of the many miracles recorded in Acts, the majority, not all, but the majority were performed outside of the context of what we often refer to as church. Now, maybe we have to adjust what our idea of church is, but we often refer to church as, we've got something in our mind there. The majority of these were outside of that context. The main point appears to be mission. Mission. So this is the secondly. We're doing okay. This is the secondly. So we've had greater supernatural activity, and I hope I've just provoked a few thoughts there, not just what we immediately think of. You know, it can be really stressful pursuing desperately to see God work through you mighty miracles in the traditional sense of the word. You can get really stressed out. And in your desire to function like that, you can end up hurting other people. Sometimes it's happened, and I'm not saying the intent has been wrong, but sometimes in the context of the church, the desire to do all kinds of things has resulted in people being damaged, actually, at times. And then feeling like because the thing hasn't happened, it was their lack of faith or this, that and the other. Oh, dear Lord, help us. So this secondly, after greater supernatural activity, I'd like to suggest greater scope. And this was really exciting, Jesus. At this point, even before the cross, mixed with the sorrow and the tension of leaving those he loved and knowing how they were feeling, yet at the same time you get that, I've got to do this, my friends. You can see, oh, you know, he went through the cross for the joy, didn't he? Yeah. For the joy that was set before him. He's nearly at the crux of his mission. There's a sense in which he must have been looking for that return to the Father and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is, oh Father, I've finished the work in John 17. I've finished. I've got this last impossible thing to do. But with God, all things are possible. Not my will, but yours be done. And he bows his head and he goes through the final crux of it all and wins the day. He wins the day. Glory to God. Finished. Not because the enemy's finished off, but because he has yielded up his spirit to his Father, who for one moment he hasn't stopped trusting. Because he's singing, not the new chorus we've come up with recently, but he is singing, and I will trust. Bless the Lord. And here we go, the greater scope. In Acts 1, how we do it, we're okay. My watch says 20. Oh yeah, same. That's good, isn't it? So Acts 2, chapter 1, just turn very briefly, two verses here. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. So this is post-cross, post-resurrection. This is the ascension that's being referred to. Until the day in which he was taken up, and he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And we go on, we can go down, you know, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then we come to chapter 2, like the chronological outworking of the sovereign will of God, bang on time, absolutely. But listen, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, the implication in that little phrase is that in Acts, Luke records what Jesus continues to do through his people. Do you believe that? So it isn't that Jesus has gone and he's like, right, over to you. He began, he's gone to the Father, he's poured out the precious Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, and so he continues to do his works. Oh, glory to God. It's not that in the Gospels Jesus worked, and now we, in his absence, work for him. It's that during his own incarnation, Jesus worked in and through his individual incarnate earthly body. And now, he works in and through the entirety of his corporate earthly body, vis-a-vis the church. You and me, my friends. You and me. He's working through his body. He always works through his body. There's no discontinuity here. Can you see that? Sometimes we do think in terms of, oh Lord, and it's a good response, what can I do? I want to do something for you. That's entirely valid. It's an entirely valid response, and he treasures those things. But in this context, it's not that we do things for him. It's that we give him our bodies, individually and corporately, entirely to him and say, Lord, you began, now continue. Continue. Through this little clay pot. In fact, the reason it's a little clay pot is that you don't focus too much attention on the clay pot. It's all about the treasure, isn't it? Oh, glory to his wonderful name. Greater scope. Did you get that? I wrote that down. I got a bit lost myself when I was reading that. Anyway, here we go. The implication is that in Acts, Luke records what Jesus continues to do through his church. It's not that in the Gospels Jesus worked, and now we, in his absence, work for him. It's that during his incarnation, so when he was here in the body, Jesus worked in and through his individual incarnate earthly body, which was amazing. But now, because of what he's done, he's made it possible for him to work in and through the entirety of his corporate earthly body, which is us, the church, in whom he is incarnated by the Holy Spirit. Did you follow me with that? Now, I know a lot of you have heard that sort of thing before, but wow. Just when I was thinking of it, I mean, I've heard it since I was a little boy, but just when I was thinking of it again, I just thought, Lord, this is truly just the most amazing gospel. Cool. caught up into something so precious and so wonderful. So when he whispers and he's the head, and he gives the word, when he whispers, I want you to pray in your closet. Distribute the loaves. Wash the feet. Whatever he says, do it. So often we miss the miraculous greater work because it's kind of somehow disguised in humility and ordinariness. But you know, he's working all the time in the hidden ways, in the quiet ways, and the power is there. The greater work is being accomplished. Let's not rule out some spectacular, but don't run after it. Don't run after it all kind of, oh, we've got to have this, oh, we've got nothing. No, that's not true. We're so abundantly blessed. We've got an absolute treasure trove of gift and resource. The unsearchable riches of Christ. There you go, Dad. His favourite. The unsearchable riches of Christ. So let's not limit him, shall we? So greater in supernatural activity, greater in scope. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful subject. Just a couple of verses. Time's nearly gone. This is all in the context. And we're going to have a week of prayer, aren't we, in the autumn? But let's not wait till then. This is all in the context of prayer. Whatever you ask, straight after the greater works, because I go to my Father, what, and it's just runs on seamlessly, whatever you ask in my name. That, the day is coming for these people that they're going to be able to ask in the name of Jesus. Up until then, they've gone to him. He's going to do something so phenomenal that they can go straight to their Father. There has been a massive relationship change. Glory to God. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. We mustn't take these words out of context. This isn't about us getting our own desires. This is about the mission of Jesus being accomplished in the name of Jesus. That the Father may be glorified. Read in John 15 what it's all about. Fruit, that the Father may be glorified. Not that you get a better car or a better house or whatever. No, that the Father may be glorified. If he gives you a car, a house, oh, thank you, Lord. That's just a bonus out of the abundant generosity of his heart. But that's not what it's about. Your will be done. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done. Yeah? Is that it? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And only then, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, bless him. Let's take our eyes off ourselves, shall we? Just now as we close. And let's take a fresh, wonderful, restorative look at the one and only, the King of Heaven, the man of sorrows, the one who's anointed with joy above all his companions, the Saviour of our souls, the Redeemer of the whole world, the Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's no one like him. No one else will meet our deepest need. And the world is utterly hopeless without him. But he's come for us. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. If you want to state your intention this morning, happy to do whatever he whispers to you. Not on one end or the other end of that spectrum I try to explain, but bang in the middle. Just simple, heartfelt obedience. Well, if you can stand, you can stand to show your intent. Bless the Lord. Feel free to do that. If you can't stand and you want to respond, you reach out a hand and say, Jesus, I'm yours, new and fresh from this moment onwards. New season. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, bless the Lord. What a declaration this morning. Declaration of intent. Though we might be fragile, though we might at times be weak-minded, though we might have been tossed to and fro, here we are, Lord. Not about us, about you. Oh, precious Lord, here, see us. We're offering ourselves. As if never before, Lord, this day is the day of salvation. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit as we respond to you. Change our minds, Lord, where we've got stuck in ruts. Renew our minds, we pray. May we live our lives for your glory alone, not for our own selfish intent. Oh, Captain, deliver us from silk and self, we pray. Living for your glory, so that others may see and know. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we worship you. We worship you. Bless your wonderful name. Let's just sing, shall we? Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. We've just got a few moments before we close, just by way of response. But this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we're thinking, oh, it's nearly all over. Hanging on in there till the Lord's return. You know, this is a new beginning. Glory to his name. Glory to his name in prayer. In lives laid down for the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just sing that chorus? Not the whole song. Just here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord.